Episode 327 of the 8-Bit Geek. If you're new around these parts, welcome. Howdy, partner. And let me explain what this show is like. It's a lot like going to the dentist. Let me explain. You know, you make your appointment. It's been 6 months. It's time for that cleaning. You know, all is well. It's just a checkup. No need to worry. So you're sitting there. You're getting settled into the seat. The doctor starts checking around, poking at your teeth, and you're sitting there watching the office on the TV that they provide in front of your face, you know, because they got those new cool TVs that are attached, and you're like, oh, shit, I can watch a movie while getting my teeth worked on. You guys know what I'm talking about. So you're just sitting there, and then you hear him say stuff like, oh, And you peek up, and he says, well, looks like you haven't been really flossing, have you? This tooth is going to need a root canal. And then they can do it right away because they have no other appointments scheduled. And that's 8-Bit for you. Figure that out. Now, I'm Jeremy. And with me today are two men who try to reenact the dentist scene from The Little Shop of Horrors together.
Wait, who's playing who?
Yeah.
Do I get to be Bill Murray or do I get to be, wait, oh man, Steve Martin? I feel like Doug would be more Steve Martin.
I mean, that's for Doug you too. This was your story. I wasn't there.
All right, you'd be Bill Murray. Give me some pain, Doug.
Okay.
Hurt me.
Maybe afterwards you can give me a lollipop.
Fucking yep. Doug. Okay.
Spot on, Steve Martin.
He's so dry.
Yeah, he's the driest.
Anyways, I'm Doug.
Oh, I'm Kevin.
And I got introduced to something called the DC Diecast Club. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Okay. I never heard of this as either, but Jason today sent me a link on Facebook. You know, mm-hmm. Jason. And he goes, hey, man, check this out. And it's a 1/8 size replica of some of the iconic 80 movies vehicles out there. Like there's the right now they're doing the Back to the Future collection.
Oh, yeah, I saw him post that link to you.
And yeah, then there's the Batmobile. And then they've also got the Ghostbusters coming out as well.
Nice.
Ecto-1. So I looked into it and I was like, this seems like a really fucking awesome thing. So what they're doing, though, is it's a subscription service.
Wow.
And so what they did was they're like, okay, it's $1.99 for the first two issues. And you're like, issues? Okay, what's going on here? And what they do is they part out this kit, and it's easy to build, you know? And so it's $1.95, free shipping handling. You get the two first issues. They include parts and magazines. And in these, and so, you know, you only get to build it a little bit at a time. So $1.95, I was like, all right, that's not bad. Let me look more into this. And it was like, okay, so after that, it's $10 an issue. And it's $10 an issue, and they send out 4 issues a month. So once a week, you'll get more parts, and you slowly put it together. But okay, not bad at all. I was like, $40 a month to build these awesome 1/8 size replicas. These are fucking big-ass vehicles. And I was like, that's not bad. So it's only got to be like 30, 40 issues tops, right? Like, because there's no way. But it doesn't tell you. So I went onto their Facebook, and somebody who subscribed to it was like, oh, I can't wait. I just got my first two issues. It's going to be great. So I asked him and I said, how many issues is this? How come they don't tell you how many issues? Dude says, I figured that this thing would cost maybe $150. After 3 months, you'd be done with it. 130 issues.
What?
This will end up costing $1,400 by the time you're done with it.
Why? That's crazy.
It's fucking insane.
You better be able to drive it after that.
They went, go back in time.
The dude goes,
yourself from buying it.
The dude's like, he justified it by saying, I got tired of building Legos.
And tired of having money, I guess, too.
$1,500 for a goddamn thing after you're done with it, it's going to sit on your shelf. I mean, it looks fucking awesome. All the lights work on it. It's got, it's die cast. It's dope, but not $1,500 dope.
No.
Build my new PC for that.
Fuck out. Seriously. A lot of things you could do with that.
So anyways, if you're interested in that, that's diecast.
If you're interested in that, it might interest you in patreon.com/8bitgeek.
May I interest you in some of these fine elixirs that we have?
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's not snake oil.
Yeah, it's that snake oil. I promise you it's not. And I know it's on the bottle. I promise you it's not.
I just had to reuse those. I ran out of supplies.
Yeah.
So there's that. If you like the show, what you're hearing so far, if you like our banter, and you should, and if you don't, you're a robot. You can listen to us and join in with us, love us, get more content from us all through our website at the8bitgeek.com. We've got links to pretty much everything, you know, that we're on. Google, Patreon. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify, all that stuff. You can find our other shows that we do there as well. You can find the link to our Discord, which you should join because you can chat with all the other fans of the show. We have a great community that you can join in and play some games and, you know, meet some new friends, meet a lover. Meet your ex. Meet your ex on Discord today.
Meet your ex.
Meet your future ex.
or you actual ex, and that's just awkward, I guess. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then we have Patreon, where you can sign up. It says it's our own subscription service, and you'll get a new issue every day for $5 a month. You'll receive a new issue of The Diner, and it's really funny. And it won't cost you $1,500. It'll only cost you like $60 a year. I mean, that's a good deal.
Yeah, you're right. Good deal. Mm-hmm. For the content, yeah. I mean, there's a ton. The diner alone, man.
Diner alone.
We go so into detail on that.
Plus, you get extended shows, and you get some cooking stuff every once in a while. You get Kevin. He does twice a year, he'll do a photo shoot.
Naughty pictures.
Where there's naughty photos.
Oh, man, you should have done one for 4th of July, Kev.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't find... I couldn't find the nipple tassels with the sparklers on them, so...
I have them in my closet. I would have let you borrow them.
That's terrifying.
Oh, shit.
You could have just gotten, like, some American flag undies and stuck a flag in your butt.
Stuck a flag in your...
That's
the most American thing you can do. Stick a flag in your butt.
I mean one of those little yard flags. So it's not like you're just shoving something up your ass. It's just, you know, you're lying there and then like you're just kind of clenching it between your butt cheeks. A little American flag flapping in the wind. You got a fan.
Way too late, like mapped out, bro.
You got something? I like this idea.
Because it's a good plan. It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. I vote for that plan.
Go for it, Jeremy.
No. I don't have the body. I don't have the body for it.
You got that dunk. Don't let them tell you not.
People seem to like
he has some of that royal Scottish blood in his veins. He's flat from shoulders to knees.
Oh, he's got a high ass though. Like I said, he kind of pulls his wallet out of his like off his shoulder.
Do I need to sit? Hold on, real quick. Let me send that picture again in our chat of Hank Hill.
No, that's my ass. Yeah. That is literally like just a cup. We're not gonna. It's bad. Hi,
Ed wants you to know, Jared, that your body is a wonderland.
Fucking yes, I love your references. You can keep them going all day. All right, so we've reached the part of the show where we're gonna have a little bit of fun, and we're gonna do something new today. Something that we've only done on The Diner once, so this could fail, and it could be a fucking dumpster fire. right out the gate. We don't know. We don't know. It could be very successful. But all three of us are going to be doing something called movie splaining. And what that is we're just going to run back a film that we've all watched, and we're going to explain it in a way that is very uneducated.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
So,
and we also found out about this about 20 minutes ago. So, yeah,
about a trilogy that we haven't seen in many a moon.
Yeah. About what year is it? 2019. So this movie came out in 2017 years.
Where I'm doing The Matrix, Doug is doing The Matrix Reloaded, and Kevin is on The Matrix Revolutions.
The one that everyone gave up on.
The one that everybody went out and saw because it made the most money. They were like, man, I can't wait to see how this wraps up.
Because they were confused as fuck at the end of the second. Okay, never mind. Let's just get this.
All right, so here we go. We're going to start it. Matrix movie splaining. All right. So what had happened is, right, like, dude came in and he's like tapping on the keyboard, right? And he's like, oh shit, I'm a hacks. And then like girl came in and was like, yo,
I'm a hacks.
I'm a hacks.
And then like the screen went dark and shit and was like, yo, wake up, bro. And so he did, right? But then he was like, follow this girl, right? So he was like, oh shit, bunnies for life. And girl walked out, was like, okay. And then he went to a club and went to party, but he was standing on the wall and he was all like, oh shit, you a girl. And she was like, I am. And then like they made out or some shit. And then he went back to his place and was like, I'll go back to work today, I guess. Nothing happened there. So then he gets a phone call from the FedEx people saying his package is late or something. And like, they were like, follow me, go out this window or some shit. So he didn't. So then, like, these agents got him and shit, and he started tripping balls because his mouth closed up, and he was all like, Anderson. And then, like, he woke up and he was like, shit, this was a dream. And then he was like, oh, shit, it wasn't a dream. He got into a car, right? And then they were all like, yo. They put a poop in you. We got to get it out. So they put a machine on him, right? And then, like, this poop came out and they threw it out the window or something. And then they're all like, you want to know what this matrix is? And he's like, yeah. And they were like, nah. So they didn't tell him, but he had to eat a pill. Never do that from a stranger. And then like, he started turning metallic and stuff. Goes and, like, dives into, like, a bucket. And he's like, is this real life? I can't see. New eyeballs. And then he shoots down a chute into some water. That's convenient. And they pick him up, right? And they're all like, oh, shit. Cool. The one or something. And he's like, do you believe it? And he's like, I don't believe it. And no one believes it. And then he's like training and shit. And he's like, I know kung fu. And like punches people. And then there's this red dress he tries on. And they're like, yo, that's wrong. And he's like, it's not 2019 yet. And then they were like fighting and shit. And he's like, now do you want to know what the matrix is? And he's like, yeah, well, too bad. 'Cause it's all around you. Welcome. And, he's like, oh shit. Then he's like fighting people. And he takes a train. Don't know why, you know what I'm saying? But you can't get out 'cause there's a phone call. And then they like pick it up. And he's like, I can't pick up the phone 'cause payphones, cell phones, and all that shit, right? And so, like, homeless dude beats him up and gets thrown into a train. And people start, like, shape-shifting and shit. And he's, like, on a roof then. And he's like, I'm going to rescue my new best friend. Because he didn't have any. Because he was sitting at the computer at the beginning of the movie. That was apparent. So then, like, makes a best friend. Jumps out of a helicopter and shit. And, like, fucking grabs his girlfriend. Who isn't his girlfriend at the time. But he really wants it to be. You could tell. And he's like, I saved you. And then he's all like, Morpheus is all like, do you believe me now? And she's all like, maybe. And then like, he's like, I got to end this, yo. So then he runs up because there's like only one payphone left in the whole city. And he's like, we got to exit here. And he's like, ah, all right. And so this dude comes up and shoots him in the face. And then he's like, "Ooh, I'm dead." But then a kiss revives him. This is some magic shit. And then he stands up and he's like, "Oh," and he does this shake thing where some fucking stuff comes off of him. I think it's like sand or something. It looks real cool. And then he dives in somebody and then kills him, breaks him into millions of pieces. And that's the Matrix.
Oh boy. That was the Matrix.
So,
wow.
Uh-huh.
Doug, you're up. The Matrix Reloaded.
Okay.
I'm tired.
Yeah, I know, right? Because you just talked for like 5 minutes straight, like giving not great detail about a movie. All right. Matrix Reloaded is the second one in the Matrix trilogy. For some reason, they made more. This movie starts off, it's about 6 months later. Now, something that Jared failed to mention were the robots. They're a little important. It's fine. So the Matrix, they're harvesting human bodies as batteries for their to fuel themselves. So they stick us in the Matrix world, so we just power them, right? So anyways, was his name Theodore? It was Teddy. From
Jenkins.
His buddy Bill's not with him. He's not with him anymore. Yeah. So he learned kung fu and all that stuff, but he's been pulled out of the Matrix and he's living in this town with all these other people that they pulled out of the Matrix. It's called Zion, right? And in the movie we see they all fucking. It's just fuck fest. Fuck fest.
Yeah.
40-25 or whatever the year is, they just fucking like crazy, just fucking their friends, fucking their wives, fucking each other. It's just fucking. And there's some techno music going that sounds just like that. It's just push it, right? And it's all this stuff happening. And meanwhile,
Jesus Christ.
Ted Esquire or whatever his name is.
Hell yeah. Wild Stallions.
What's her name? Jerry from fucking the Marvel universe. The lawyer chick. She's in Daredevil. She's in Daredevil and Jessica Jones. Anyways, they fucking, right? And then goes to sleep and he has this dream like, oh shit. Oh shit. My lawyer's about to die. And so he wakes up and he's like, oh no. It's kind of like Anakin and Padme where he's like, oh, I had brooding bad dreams. But he doesn't go kill sand people, but he does go fight some evil robot thingies, right? And then they find out, oh shit, the robot's about to find us in Zion. Let's figure out how we're going to stop them. We only have like a day or two. And so they go and they go talk to some guy in a room surrounded by TVs because he's watching like all the ESPNs. And he says some stuff like something about visas and coordinates or whatever. And he tells him to go find the Pagemaster. Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, nice.
So they go and they find out that Macaulay Culkin is an Asian man and he's being held hostage by some people who I don't really remember who they are, but I do know that there's also the Olsen twins in this movie coming back to acting.
Stop it.
Oh shit, I just got my drink over. So they get the key, they chase them on a highway. And they're flying down the highway down, which it's supposed to be, I think, the 405 or something in California. It's not believable because there's not enough cars, but they're going and they're fighting and the Olsen twins can like teleport through vehicles and shit. It's weird. And they get Asian Macaulay Culkin and they get him on the bike and he's supposed to help them somehow do a thing. And I don't know. There's also a scene in a park where Ted fights that one dude from Lord of the Rings.
Holy shit.
And then he fights like 30 of them. And then it goes from like being really cool to super CG and looks really fucking shitty. That's about all I really remember. from that movie. I don't know what else happens.
And that's The Matrix Reloaded.
And that's The Matrix Reloaded.
Oh, Kev, no pressure or anything, but those two reviews are pretty fucking awesome, if I do say so myself.
If only I had a good movie to talk about, but I mean, let's get it cracking.
You have the greatest movie to talk about.
The end of the trilogy, you know, the end as we know it in the world of The Matrix, you know, so starts off, you know, the movie Neo was napping, you know, IRL, of course, but because his body was trapped in a subway. Like, it was just one of those things, like, he got to the L too late, and he had to wait for the 4 a.m. trains, and it was only 2, so he was just chilling. He was trying to get out of there, though, but there was a homeboy named the Train Man that just wouldn't let him pass. So, basically, Seraph, who you know from the second one, Reloaded, basically, Seraph had to tell Morpheus that Neo's beefing with the train, dude. then Morpheus basically goes to a club named Club Hell, and he's running game on a character named Metrovanian or Metrovania. I don't know, but gets Neo a pass out of there. Now this basically sends like Neo, cause he's trying to get to Machine City to stop all this stuff, to basically confront. He's trying to find a way back into the Matrix so he can confront Agent Smith and end all this, get the beef done. But while this is going on, you got the IRL crew, you know, the real life crew, basically of the Ebenezer. They were they were trying to get with Hammer, and they were helping to reactivate Nairobi ship, you know. So while they were doing that, you know, like I said, Will Smith was like going after Neo, a bunch of action happens with the machines, and then like IRL, like the machines are like, yo, Neo, we cool for now, because you know, both of us can't take the L. One of us has got to go there and got to squash this with Agent Smith. And so we choose you, Pikachu. And what they did was they opened up the Matrix and they let him in there. And then they made him like fucking OP, and they nerfed Agent Smith. So basically here he is, like Neo with a world of Agent Smiths, all raining, looking all sexy outside. And they're all just ready to rumble, you know? And Neo just basically gets the best out of Agent Smith because the machines like jolted him or something like that and made him super OP. And what that happens after he beats Agent Smith, it reboots the Matrix, reboots the world, everything's safe and all that. It's all good. All is good in the world. The final scene ends with the Architect and the Oracle. They're just rolling a blunt and watching the sun come up. The end. Matrix.
There you have it. Essentially, you just got a college level education in what the Matrix was like.
That's true.
So I enjoyed that thoroughly. If you enjoyed it, let us know. If you didn't enjoy it.
It sounded like you enjoyed mine more than Kev's.
Wow, fucking Mr. Competition over here. Middle child over here.
Okay, I'll say this. Doug started a lot like Kevin, but then Doug realized that he's like, hey, I'm not going off course enough. So then he just went fucking balls to the wall. And Kevin stayed pretty like, he was like, you know what, this is stupid. So I'm gonna, you just pretty much explained the movie pretty well.
It's in a really weird way.
So
yeah, I'm supposed to explain it badly.
Yeah, you're supposed to explain it really badly, man.
That's why I didn't get anybody.
The thing is, I was telling you guys on the pre-show, like, I haven't seen that movie since it came out.
That makes it even
better. I looked at pictures on IMDb to figure out what the fuck happened in this movie. There's a picture of the orgy scene.
There's a picture of the orgy scene.
There is. And then there's a picture of them fighting in the park. There's a picture of the highway scene. And the pictures of the Oracle and then the Keymaster and all that stuff. So I just remembered all that shit from, you know, it just came back to me. But I had to like, so I don't remember what order it went in. I kind of made that up.
It did a pretty good job. So here's the thing. If you like this and you want us to do another trilogy, suggest one. We'd like to tackle it. And we will movie-splain anything for you.
Yeah, we have some suggestions in the chat, which we'll do eventually. We're not going to do it today, but Ratatouille and like Airplane.
Airplane? Hell yeah, dude. I love that movie.
See, Dune what Pixar happened, movies would be fucking hilarious.
In Airplane, what had happened, right, is...
There was an airplane.
It landed. So Any hoozles, let's get onto the top box office, which, I mean, Spider-Man, right?
Am I right?
Am I right?
Yeah, yeah. Which, Ed, I saw an article like that was like, had one of the biggest drop-offs, I guess, in the Marvel MCU mm-hmm. between week one and week two. Mm-hmm. But it still broke records.
Because so it was like, out for a full week instead of just that weekend before. That's probably why it was a full drop. So technically, it's had like a week and a half compared to the normal.
Well, it still made like $100 yeah. million that opening weekend, not yeah. even including when it made that week before. I mean, even when we looked at the box office last week, it showed us what it made over the weekend, and then the total was still bigger than that because it had been open since Monday night.
Well, I can explain the reason why this had such a big drop-off.
Because everybody went and saw it?
Well, that would be an easy way to do it, but the more complex way and the correct way is just to say that there was two big old blockbusters that came out that completely fucking smashed it. Crawl and Stuber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just robbed it of that $20 million those made combined.
Wow.
Well, you know, they tried. They tried real Stuber hard.
At least had to have made its money back on $8 million.
$8 million? God, no.
The comedy.
There's no way it made its money back, dude.
Oh, wait, never mind. Action. So there's explosions, so mm-hmm. never mind.
Oh, yeah. Comedies cost a lot of money nowadays. It was, huh?
What do you need?
Location, location, location.
Wow.
Because they have a whole bunch of shit in there, so.
Its budget was $16 million, Stuber was. So
oh, they're halfway there.
Halfway there.
Halfway there. That kind of sucks because I wanted to see Kumail Nanjiani. I really wanted to see him, you know, take off as a leading man. He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude, he's funny. I do like him.
Is it Nanjiani? Nanjiani?
Yeah.
Nanjiani? Is it Nanjiani?
Kumail Nanjiani?
Nanjiani.
Ugh, I don't like saying it over and over again.
Me neither. So
it feels not that it is, you know, it's like that, like we're just saying it wrong, so let's just mm-hmm. admit.
Yeah,
we'll admit we don't defeat. Know how to say like, was it Pakistani names?
Yeah, that's true. Spider-Man news, which, you know, we're talking about the box office there. Mm-hmm. So I guess there was between the Sony and the Marvel studio deal. If Far From Home doesn't make $1 billion, Sony breaks free of the Marvel studio deal.
What?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already made over $600 million in its first week. What's it up to now? What's its worldwide?
That's kind of stupid on Sony's behalf because they're not doing any better with the franchise.
They won an Oscar with their movie, so.
Mm-hmm, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't think of that as Sony only. I'm sorry. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the MCU Spider-Man. I'm sorry. Good point, though. Yeah, that was my. I mean, that's still my favorite. Into the Spider-Verse is amazing.
And it will be probably for a long time because there was that movie was so unique and out of fucking left mm-hmm. field.
Yeah.
So. Let's see. Box Office Mojo.
So this might break them from the deal, but they have got to realize that this version of Spider-Man and his spinoff movies, which are under Columbia, I believe, has got to be making them money regardless with his tie-in to the MCU. But I can't. There's a part of me that just can't see them like, well, he's got one more movie. Like, ooh. And then killing it.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's made at $847 million worldwide in week two.
Wow.
But with that big of a drop-off, it's going to be really difficult to break a billion.
I feel like if they get close enough, that should be fine. That's a weird clause in a contract.
Yeah, but you don't... movie studios are very vicious, man. So they,
yeah, but I just can't imagine again. I can't imagine them again looking at because they don't not only get like obviously money from the movies, whatever their deal is with that, but also merchandising. Like you're selling more Spider-Man movies now or toys and stuff because of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like toys, because while there may have been like a Spider-Man, the video game toy somewhere, I'm sure mm-hmm. like, you're going to sell more in-game Infinity War, you know, the new Spidey suits and all that stuff. Like, I feel like more of that stuff because more people are seeing that. Like, I don't know if I actually even saw any into the Spider-Verse toys. There surely was, but I don't remember seeing many Miles Morales toys.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't know. I can't. That's the thing where it's like, even if it does get to like, you know, 915 million, like, oh, shucks, we didn't make it. I still can't see them being like, no, you're not getting that third movie.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The original deal is to co-produce the movies, and that if Spidey clears a billion, Marvel would get to oversee a third movie. If it hadn't, full control would revert back to Sony. And so I don't see them doing that well without Marvel's help, though, right? Like,
they haven't in the past. And I know we'll get the diehard fans of either Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire or whatever. But let me pitch this to them. You bring both of them into the new one. and you do a Spider-Verse sort of like live action. We've opened the realm and now we have Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire also as Spider-Man.
And you gotta obviously Tobey Maguire is the old like I'm broken down motherfucker, like I'm ready to quit.
No. And it sucks that Donald Glover was in Spider-Man Homecoming, because I would say then throw him in.
Well, you can still throw
in Justice Smith.
It wasn't Justice Smith.
No, I know who that, but I'm saying Justice Smith would be another one. Who is the other?
Well, okay. Well, so the actor who played Shaolin Fantastic did the voice of Miles Morales in Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
So someone still from the Get Down, but not books, but Shaolin Fantastic.
Right, but I feel like he looked much older, I guess. I don't know.
So?
Yeah.
He played a 17-year-old, and the dude's like 20-something.
Yeah.
So? And same thing with Tom Maguire was like 30 and played a 17-year-old.
Yeah, I was going to say, he old as fuck.
But Tom Holland is just turned 23 and is playing a 17-year-old.
That's true. I mean, yeah, if he's super young, I'd love to see him do it. Yeah, I mean, he would be great.
Actually, guys, Tom Holland is actually playing a 22-year-old because of the snap and
the blink. They say he is still the same age he was when he left. There's a whole thing in his movie about kids trying to buy beer.
Yeah. Because Flash is trying to buy
beer. Yeah, on the plane.
Spoiler.
First class or whatever. Ma'am, he is actually only 17 because of the blip.
Let's see. Warner has announced something, guys. And it's big. It's called HBO Max, and it's launching spring of 2020. Now, why? Okay, I get the HBO name has a lot of weight. But since it's going to include so much more, why not call this something different than HBO? Because HBO is its own thing, but this will have. So it's going to have content. From HBO, Warner Brothers, New Line, DC Entertainment, CNN, TBS, TBS, True TV, The CW, Turner Classic Movies, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, and so much more. And there's
there's like three other things. Don't bother naming the web content from like Crunchyroll and Rooster Teeth. Go fuck them.
Yeah, them. And then there's gonna have original content from Dune, The Sisterhood, Tokyo Vice. I don't know what any of these. Made for Love. I guess these are new. And then Gremlins. Oh, shit. Yeah, the animated series is going to be on there. So this is, they'll get the streaming rights to all 236 episodes of Friends. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Of
Netflix at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was on Netflix.
What? It was a huge deal when it got added like back in like 2014. Because they spent so much money to get the streaming rights for that.
Dude, I mean still their syndication on TV still gets them like millions of dollars.
Yeah, but they paid millions of dollars to get it onto Netflix. Like it might have been like a $1 billion deal. It was so fucking huge. It was ungodly. But but then like they saw like an increase in people subscribing because people like Friends, even though it is a show that has not aged well.
No, it hasn't. It was on in the break room at work, and I was like, ooh, this music. This everything. I think we talked about it a few episodes back, where every year the main cast still gets $10 million a year in just from residuals.
Yeah. Residuals. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I said something about how Gunter still gets like $1 million or $3 million a year.
I think it's $2 million he gets. He gets $2 million a year.
And it's like, this motherfucker, while in a lot of episodes, only showed up for like a minute or less, and this dude doesn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. And probably hasn't since 2004 when the show fucking ended.
Yeah. Insane. Why should he?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it feels good to like contribute to society or something. I don't know.
Fox, Pixar, let me address your airplane concerns. We could talk about that, but it'll be at the end of the show. You know, we got a little format that we do here. So just sit back, enjoy the ride. Put your seatbelt on when the lights on, and you know, we'll let you move around the cabin soon. Thank you. it's another streaming service. Kevin, earlier in the week when we were texting, you said you were a little concerned because you're just like, well, fucking cable 2.0.
Yeah. That's exactly cable 2.0, where now we have all these different services again, where we're like, well, we need Netflix and we need Disney Plus and we need this. And at the end of the day, we're end up paying cable prices, but we're splitting them up among other companies. Everyone's just basically cutting out the middleman of like Comcast or, you know, Warner.
Well, it's not even Warner. Warner's like, Warner owns their own fucking cable company.
Yeah. So Warner's doing their thing. Yeah.
And they're just like, okay, well, if people aren't going to subscribe on cable, we'll get them to subscribe on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, so I would be interested to see if things like Warner and people that actually have their own like ISP sort of thing, like if they go like, hey, use our internet, get HBO Max for free. Because yeah, they already kind of do stuff like that with like HBO Go or Now or whichever one it is. So I wouldn't, you know, I'd be really curious.
A bundling package like cable.
Yeah. And what the problem is, I think people are like, man, we sold the streaming rights to Netflix. They sure are seeing the returns on that. Mm-hmm. And like, we're not. Because again, like, you know, they're pulling Friends. They're going to be pulling all the CW stuff like Flash, Arrow, Batwoman, whenever that comes out, Riverdale, all that shit, which, you know, CW shows, which, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. And there were some other things that they listed as well that, you know, I mean, again, if you just look like Rooster Teeth has Red versus Blue on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. And if it's all of Rooster Teeth, I mean, that's huge, because that's Funhouse, Screw Attack, like pretty much a lot of those like internet, you know, internet famous like comedy groups. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a huge pull.
It's a lot of stuff. That's just a lot of stuff. Yeah. And again, also with like Adult Swim and Crunchyroll and all that as well. Like it's a huge pool. And like, you know, it sucks. Cause yeah, it's like, we're cutting the cord, but these cable companies are now going to force us back to the cord because, well, we're not giving our stuff to Netflix anymore. Now you need our streaming service. And it's just like, well, I don't want to. Now there's a lot of us out here who are like, I ain't paying for shit. I have other means. So there will always be that. But at the same time, it's just like, for those that aren't as well equipped in that regard, you know, it kind of fucks people over.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, it kind of makes you pick and choose. Now, I have seen a lot of people going like, I don't give a fuck. I'll sign up for Netflix for a month. I'll binge, you know, Stranger Things season 3. And when I'm done, I cancel it. And then I go, you know, or the same thing with Amazon Prime. You know, a new series I want to watch drops, I watch it, and, you know, I binge it in a week, and I cancel the service. And they, you know, they'll bounce around. And so I see a lot of that happening, too, where it's going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, so I pay $6 a month for this service. I binge watch everything I want to watch, and then jump to the next service. So I think we're going to see a lot of that, too. People are smart.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Todd Phillips is in the news as he's talking about the Joker movie. And he said that he pitched the Joker as the first in a new DC Films division, which is like it's an Elseworld kind of deal with what they're doing in their film division. Mm-hmm. Essentially, he said that there'll be, you know, the Joker has no ties to any comic, has no ties to any universe. It's its own thing, and it's not a Joker movie. It's a story of a man who is pushed and you know, becomes this iconic character, and it's not about the Joker, it's about this man. And so
cool.
It's just a different story, and I think that's definitely the way to approach it, because when we first, you know, had news of this movie, we were all like, get the fuck out of here. Like, what's mm-hmm. happening? Like, why are we doing 14 Joker movies? And you yep. know, we were on it pretty hard, but after you get into it and you hear the explanation, you see what's actually going on with it, it's not a bad idea. It's just like a one-off, you know, in a comic book. So telling a different yeah. aspect of the story.
This could be their Spider-Verse. This could be their like fucking left field hit. You know what I mean? Like where it's just no one expected, especially because you're right. I mean, if they're going to do like art house films of any of the DC characters, I guess the Joker would be the most interesting, you know?
Sorry. It's called they said that when he pitched it, it was the beginning of a new division. That
Elseworlds.
It's called DC Black. Oh. It'd be separate from the DC EU. So.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
It makes me actually more interested in seeing the movie than I was before. Remember, I was the one basically against it the whole time.
You're like, you're still against it. You're like, this is John Mayer.
She has an appearance in there. I'm out.
Marvel is auctioning off props from its Netflix shows. So you can actually go in and for a starting bid of like $3,000, you could pick up the Daredevil suit.
Nice.
It's probably a lot more expensive at this point in all reality. I haven't checked it. I checked it out when it first got announced. So I was like, oh shit. All right. Let me see how much this is going to cost. But they do have Matt Murdock's like table from the show. Like his, I mean, they have a ton of stuff that they're auctioning off. Like his entire apartment's on there. So you can view the catalog here. Is that his, you could get Foggy's suit for $300 starting.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to smell it.
There's two bids on the Matt Murdock cassette recorder. It's at $150.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, there's some props you can pick up for, you know, pretty cheap. Oh Jesus Christ! His round eyeglasses. It's already up to $900 for just some sunglasses. But that's kind of iconic, right?
Yeah.
So.
Good gravy.
Are you looking at the prices,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find his one of his suits. I think it's a couple pages in before we move to the next.
Matt Murdock's dark gray suit, starting at $400. Estimates between $800 and $1,200.
Not bad.
Is there any bids on it?
No, not currently.
There's a bid on. Okay, so if you want to get the first ever Daredevil costume, the bidding starts at $10,000, and it's expected to go to $30,000 to $50,000 for that suit. But his first slash combat costume, pick it up for an easy $4,000. That's a deal.
Do that rabbit in a snowstorm painting. Currently, it's two bids in the 2006.
Ooh, hey Kev, can you switch regions, man?
Yeah, man. Here we go. We're going to Russia.
Did we go to Russia?
No, we went to US West.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're back to green. So that's good. Now, what were you saying?
I was saying that the rabbit in a snowstorm. Is it bad for you guys can't hear me?
Yeah, I'm going to pause the recording.
Damn your internet.
I'm going to pause the recording.
It's not my internet.
All right, we're back. I know nobody on the podcast can, if you're listening to this, no. Anyway.
What I was saying.
Yeah. As you were saying.
The rabbit in a snowstorm painting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That famous one is currently at $2,600 in the bid. They're expecting it to go up to $7,000.
Are you putting it on the card or?
I mean, is 8-bit putting it on the card?
I thought your Best Buy would have more room than mine.
God, you can get like framed photos. It's ridiculous.
It's a pretty cool auction, man. Sam Raimi still wants to make another Evil Dead, and I am 100% in, and he wants to do it with or without Bruce Campbell. I mean, I don't know. To do it without Bruce Campbell seems like a bad idea, right? He is Evil Dead.
I already tried doing this. And
yeah. But he goes and he's like, I'd love to make another one. I don't think TV is the future, but we're talking about Bruce, Rob, and myself. One or two different ways to go with the next movie. We'd love to make another Evil Dead feature. In fact, we're working on some ideas right now. But Bruce Campbell said he retired from the role. But why would you?
Yeah. Because he's old as fuck, and that's a high profile or high moving role, highly active, and he's not as highly active.
I don't know, man. That's the way you stay young, is to be active. And he got in shape for that shit. He was rocking it, man.
He was. Oh, I loved Ash vs. Evil Dead. It was a gift. All three seasons were a gift.
Yeah.
Also, this, I don't think TV is the future. Man, y'all fucking behind.
Yeah.
Like, if that frame of thinking is terrible.
Maybe he's just talking about this, like, for this series and for, like,
him. I mean, I don't know. Ash vs. Evil Dead was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that, like, Showtime or Epix or whoever the fuck it was canceled you, but like shop that shit around.
That would be perfect for Netflix.
Agreed.
Or HBO Max. Mortal Kombat, we're getting another movie, y'all. We're getting another movie. Yeehaw, it's gonna be rated R and it's gonna feature fatalities.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be a hard R.
They've already casted somebody.
Yeah, they casted somebody as Sub-Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's fun. I forgot who it was. It was like, I forgot his name. I'm sorry. We'll get back to you on that one.
But it looks like it's being produced by James Wan, though. So, that could be cool.
It could end up being a really good movie. I mean, it's got all the elements to make a good like movie if done correctly. You could like that face says that, but superhero movies also were kind of like in the beginning too. So, I mean,
what was
superhero movies?
Oh,
we've had some bad ones.
Joe Taslim is the actor's name, and he was in the movies such as Fast and Furious 6, Star Trek Beyond, and The Raid Redemption.
For sure. Cool. I'll go watch it. Fuck it.
Cool.
I thought, Doug, this was a story that you would enjoy, even though Zack Snyder is behind it. He's created an anime series inspired by Norse mythology for Netflix.
Based on his treatment of other characters, so dearly beloved to me, that I don't trust him, because it's going to be like, oh man, okay, so we got Thor, right? You know, God of Thunder, son of Odin. But like, what if he was weak as fuck?
Yeah. And what if he manipulated water instead of thunder and lightning?
You know, instead of thunder and lightning, yeah, what if he was like friends with the grass?
What if he could make grass grow at will?
Yeah, that would be so much cooler, right? And then Loki, right? Like his like best friend, you know, even though they fight all the time, and you know, we'll make sure we say that they're not brothers because that's Marvel's thing and that's not really part of Norse mythology. But like, what if Loki was just a goat?
And he ate the grass.
And he ate the grass, and that's the whole conflict.
And since like Thor's weak, he's all like, no, goat, get out of here. This is my grass.
I think Loki does turn into a goat at some point, though. Like he has a shape-shifting abilities. There's definitely one time where he was like, ha ha ha, I'm going to play a prank on these fools. And he turns into a woman and he like fucks Odin or some shit. It's kind of like, where's the prank, bud?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think this one's on you, man.
I don't know. And
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that in the Marvel universe.
Oh no.
I'm curious. His name on it. Literally, it's just like, because kind of like with this whole like superhero, you know, this Superman stuff. It was like, yeah, you know, don't really like superheroes. It's like, why are you making a superhero franchise, you fuck?
For that money.
Yeah, for that money. So I feel like this, and even though, like, well, what movies have you done again? Are you behind 300? That was a compliment.
Although maybe this 300 might help, at least with this Norse mythology. Maybe he's used to something like that.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. And then anime also, I think, would I don't know. It depends on like what we're talking about as anime, because that's so just stylized like animation. Or are you mm-hmm. talking like, because I could see some cute chibi stuff being funny occasionally if done right. That's what they did with like Avatar the Last Airbender. It was like, you know, this really beautiful artwork kind of anime in style, and then occasionally these little chibi characters like reacting to stuff, like it was funny because it was done right. Mm-hmm. So I could see that working. I just don't trust Zack Snyder. So
amen.
Fair enough.
All right, let's get into some gaming before we get out of here tonight. And the first thing, the big thing, Nintendo taking the top spot here with announcing the Switch Lite. And it's coming in September for $199. All I got to say is I called it.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, almost
the
like
price point and the non-detachable controllers.
Yeah. What's crazy is I almost wish this news stories had dropped just a little bit later in the week, because it was definitely like we recorded this, you know, last Monday night. Our show released, you know, either late Monday night or Tuesday morning, and then that broke Tuesday morning. So there is kind of that like,
oh yeah,
like, hey, I wonder if this is gonna happen, and then it happens like immediately. So there was no like build for you in that way. I wish you'd gotten a little bit more of a.
Like a one day notice.
I know. It's like a one day, like, hey, I'm going to call this right here. This is what it's going to be. This is what we're going to have. And this is going to be the price. And then it was like, whoop. And then it's like, well, okay. I guess I.
Then they'll be like, you've got insider knowledge.
Yeah, he's got insider knowledge. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was a big surprise last night.
They send the Reggie security bot to your house. Even though he's retired, the bot.
Hey, friend.
Hey,
friend.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
I'm going to have to kill you now. So. It'll be fun for us all. Well, I'm Regibot.
We would like to kill you.
Super positive.
Super positive. It's going to be a fun experience for you and your friends.
Oh, God.
And he's going to be like this. Sit down in front of your PS4. Now, put the PS4 controller in your hands. Now, play a violent video game. And then he takes photos and posts it online and says, look what a PS4 did to you. Getting a Nintendo.
Yeah,
that's the long con, dude. That's where that works.
So the Switch was announced. The Switch Lite. It's a 5.5 inch screen, so it's essentially like your cell phone that you have in your pocket, but with controllers attached, and it has the power of the fucking Switch. I mean, it looks pretty cool. They're saying 6.5 hours of power at max. They're saying that, you know, they actually fixed the D-pad, which is great. You know, they actually put a D-pad in there. The only issue that people are complaining about is that Nintendo's Joy-Cons, you know, there's a lot of these, what are they called? The analog sticks are sticking to the left and right. And, you know, they haven't fixed it. And they're hoping, they're like, God damn, I hope they fix it on this. Because you can't replace the Joy-Cons if they go bad.
Oh, that sucks.
So for $200, my suggestion is buy it at Best Buy or GameStop and buy that protection plan. So that way, in case it does happen, it'll cost you a couple extra bucks, but it'll be well worth it if those fucking Joy-Cons go out, or I guess they're just called if your joystick goes out. But it'll come in yellow, gray, and turquoise, and there'll be a special Pokemon edition.
Yeah,
and
kind of a weird color palette. Yeah,
it's like a fun. Oh, look, we're fun.
It's like sea green.
Yeah, because the green's like not green. It's like sea green, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just it's like pastels.
Yeah, like this.
Mm-hmm. It's just
the weird thing that Nintendo's saying is that they're not. This is not to replace the Nintendo 3DS or 2DS or the DS line, and they're just like. Bro, you got to let that die. Like, it's done.
Yeah.
This is a complete handheld unit. Like, there's no connecting it to the TV or anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is your replacement for, like, all fucking DS.
Especially
models.
Since it's literally in the same price range.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
Like a 3DS, like the top tier 3DS is still $200, I believe.
So, anyways, the screen is a little bit smaller. I don't like that they just used the same bezel, and they all they did was make the bezel larger. I didn't like that. But oh well, what are you gonna do? They say that they have a smaller CPU in there that has the same power. It helps with cooling, you know, the cooling agent and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool. Anybody who hasn't had a Switch and it's for $200, jump in and have some fun. It's worth it. It's I've said it before. The Switch has become my favorite console probably of all time. It's that good.
That's a bold statement, my friend.
It's that good. It's that good. It's that fun. So
I like it.
Doug. Zombie.
I'm excited for Ultimate Marvel or Marvel Ultimate Alliance this Friday.
This Friday comes out. And yes. Oh man. Did you guys buy it already or no?
No.
I'm thinking about doing that. I'm gonna wait till I get paid and I'm gonna get that voucher, that $99 voucher, and pick that up. And I might pick up one of those Pokemon games because that's supposed to be like the first new one for the Switch that was built specifically for it, like a full-on Pokemon game.
Oh, yeah,
game,
the
right?
$99 voucher, so you can get two games for...
Yeah, so it's basically save $20. Mm-hmm. So I could do that, or I can get Super Mario Maker 2 or something like that. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on Mario Maker 2 because I'm still going through Super Mario, whatever...
Deluxe Edition.
Yeah, that one. Whatever that one was. I'm going through that, and...
That's why I haven't picked it
up. Yeah, I'm not creative enough to really make my own stuff, so I would just
play
other
people's
stuff.
So you just play everyone
else's. Yeah.
Arby's made one. They have the best fries.
They really do.
Oh, God damn it. That hurts.
Zombie Army 4, guys.
Never heard of it.
Normally, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Never heard of it.
But they're in the news because of the quote that they said. They said that they are an Epic Game Store exclusive because Epic is paying through the nose. And,
good.
Yeah, make them pay.
And after proclaiming that Rebellion would need a bloody good reason to make Zombie Army 4 an Epic Games exclusive, it looks like they've gotten it, and it's called money. And there was an interview this week with co-founders Jason and Chris Kingsley, and they spoke about why they do it, and... You know, they said, generally, I think I would prefer not to do exclusives, but I understand Epic's position with it. And quite frankly, they're paying through the nose to build their store. So we'll take that money. Thank you very much.
I didn't realize that this is part of this is the one that's part of the Sniper Elite series.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what this is. Yeah, this is their zombie portion of it.
I have some of these games. I played a little bit of the first one, and I went, too scary for me.
So I guess you're not going to be in line for Zombie Army 4.
If it has like a multiplayer option, sure. But like, I don't like scary games.
You guys are about to make your first purchases in the Epic Game Store with Borderlands 3.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not Doug.
I'm bummed. I have to buy it twice now because it's stupid, not cross-compatible.
Well, you don't know that yet, Kev. Tomorrow they have a news conference about...
No, he came out and squashed it and said it's not going to be cross-compatible at launch, but they're going to work on it
afterwards.
Well,
then just wait a year or two, Kev. Also, I've never understood the reason why you are buying two copies.
Because cross-compatible, I'm going to be playing with Debbie no matter what, so it's going to be an Xbox purchase.
So why didn't you get her a PC?
She has a PC, but she would rather play it on Xbox. Achievements, and keep that tradition going, because you have the first two.
But the Xbox store on PC.
It's not cross-compatible. It's not only on first-party titles. Is it cross-buy?
They could set a new precedent.
That would be amazing, but isn't it an Epic Store exclusive?
It is an Epic Store exclusive, though. I'm sorry, Kev.
No.
I mean, man, that sucks.
It's not your fault. You didn't do it.
I know, but achievement. I mean, Steam has achievements. Oh, wait, it's not on Steam. Never mind.
Yeah.
Epic will have achievements soon.
Yeah, I'm not super looking forward to the fact that I have to get Epic to play this fucking game. I'm a little bummed. Because I don't... I must have an account because I played, what's it called? That one game. Remember it?
Oh,
remember
that one game? Yeah, the one that, the shooting one. The fun one.
Quake Arena?
Mm-hmm. No.
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 You said the one shooting at Fortnite?
Fortnite.
Yeah, but it was
really?
Fortnite.
Doug played Fortnite?
It was Fortnite before it was Fortnite.
Yeah. It was
with a single player Fortnite.
Yeah, I played the actual fucking game. We got a code for it, and I played the actual game, and I was like, this kind of is not that much fun. And then, like, a month later, they're like, no one's playing our game. Battle Royale!
Yeah. And then it became a fucking empire. Yeah,
and I played a couple of sessions of that right when it, like, launched, and I went, this is still not for me.
Yeah.
I got into it for a little bit, a couple seasons.
I quickly realized it was not for me as well, even though I did get into it for a couple seasons. I didn't even do it for the shooting. The challenges were fun for me, and I just went, exactly. All right, I'll just go around and fuck around with this and do the challenges. And then I got bored.
Well, and the way they pull you back in, too, like if you get one season, you can basically earn enough gold to pay for the next season. So it's kind of like a weird addiction. Like if you play enough, you can earn enough to keep playing or at least keep earning all their extra stuff, their cool skins and emotes and all that fun stuff.
So. Kev, did you watch that video I sent you today, the retro replay?
I need to watch it.
No, I didn't. I, like I said, I don't get to watch videos at work anymore. So.
Oh, man.
And then I get home and forget about it. But
this is one I feel like you could have listened to. It kind of has that podcast vibe about it. Cause just them
you should have told me to listen to it then. I could at least have had to play it in the background.
Yeah, because they're essentially just playing a game. And while they are talking about the game that they're playing, like they explain what they're playing. They talk about the history of what they're playing.
Holy shit, them playing Narc? I would love to watch that one.
Yes, it was so funny. But there's, because, you know, it's an old console or an old arcade game.
Yeah.
And so there's a part
where... in Chicago, too.
There's a part where they're like just ding, 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 adding coins to keep playing. But dude, that episode was so...
I'm adding that on my watch list here.
Fucking good. Because I like their playthroughs. This is Retro Replay, if anyone's wondering. It's Nolan North and Troy Baker playing video games, old video games. And I really like their... Uncharted playthrough. It's very funny. They have a new episode every Monday. But I didn't really care for their other stuff because it's like, I don't care about this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about these old games that they're playing. And Nolan North really sucks at video games. So it's not.
So it's difficult to get through?
Sometimes it's hard to watch. Yeah. But since he's been playing Uncharted, he's actually gotten better. It's so difficult to watch the first like few chapters of the Uncharted playthrough because you just want to like reach through and take the controller from him and fucking play the thing. And you can tell that Troy Baker at times is feeling the same way. But I don't know. Some of the newer episodes are actually pretty good. They're really funny. And Narc was really is super fucking funny. They're so funny together. Okay. I want to work for them. I want to work on that set. I want to do something. Like, it'll be so much fucking fun.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. So Amazon is developing a new Lord of the Rings game, and it's an MMO.
Good. The last one was too.
Yeah.
So it went. That was a pretty successful MMO for a few years too, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Was it?
I don't, I mean, I didn't play it, but I mean, I'm not really into MMOs, so.
I don't know. I think the MMO world is dying, isn't it? Like,
I think it's really transformed. Like World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy.
It's transformed. I would 100% agree with that because there's all these. There's a fuck ton of different ones now because it's all this like play to win sort of stuff where it's like, you know, you can do so much up to like level 15 and then like you know you to actually buy stuff if you want to buy stuff to make your character. I mean, the Old Republic is the same way too, where it's like. You know, you can pay the $30, you know, for 2 months or whatever and get a bunch of like cartel coins and all this other stuff. Or you can just play for free up to like level 20 or something.
And not only
or more.
And not only just that, but like the way that Warframe is. And they changed the industry of what an MMO is and what it can be. And there's all these different. What's the other one? Oh, I can't think of the name of it, but.
World of Tanks. I mean, like a lot of those, like World of Ships, those free to play.
All
games.
These MOBAs are kind of an MMO kind of feel as well. I mean, it's really gone.
Yes. Might makes a killing. League of Legends makes a killing. So,
Yeah, I was going to say there's you know, Monster Factory over on the McElroy's network. They do this show, and they often go into the character creators for these like free to play MMO games, because a lot of them are like really rich in the amount of like detail you can give your character. But then you get in the game and they look kind of shitty. I mean, like, not necessarily like graphically, but just like these controls make no fucking sense. Like, this is what is happening. It's because, like, yeah, these developers can make these games with, you know, all these easy fetch quest sort of things, and then they make money again off of like charging players for additional things that, you know, to help speed them along and whatnot. So yeah, I wouldn't say that the MMO like world is dying. I just think that we're seeing an evolution of it. But my question is, like, well, I love Lord of the Rings. Like, it has to be good, because while I love Lord of the Rings, if you want me to be invested, like the Shadow of Mordor stuff was sick as fuck. It was really cool, but, you know, it's not an MMO. So like, you have to like match great storytelling with fun gameplay. And I don't know how you do that in MMO, because I've seen the other MMOs and I haven't been super impressed with it.
I agree. I agree.
We'll see what happens.
Let's see. Gearbox is posted and teasing a celebration of togetherness for tomorrow. Let's see. 7/16/2019 at 7 a.m. Pacific time. So
today for some of you.
Yeah, so today. Today. Dude,
so 7 a.m. So 9 a.m. our time, 10 a.m. Eastern time, 7 a.m. Pacific time. Fuck everyone in California.
Yeah.
Basically. The joys of having a studio in the fucking Midwest. Mm-hmm. Or the South, I guess.
And that was our last story. And before I go, though, listen, right now on Amazon, I know a lot of people are like, don't buy from Amazon today because the strike and everything. I get that. I fully support it. But also, Pokemon Let's Go Eevee is on sale for $30.
God damn it.
It's not bad.
So it's not bad.
It's not a bad
deal. Digital or physical?
Physical.
Yeah.
Diablo 3, you can pick up for $40.
Physical. Yeah. Dude, Diablo 3, though.
Mm-hmm.
Worth it.
Also, hey, happening this week is San Diego Comic-Con starts this week.
Oh yeah, so we're going to be live from the West Coast.
Yep.
You could check in with us as we as we talk all things San Diego Comic-Con. Be on the lookout for that.
Mhm. Nope, not actually happening. But if you are going, let us know. Let us know what you see. Mm-hmm. Have
the
fun. Lillian
Wolfgang, you gonna be up there? Let us know.
I think he posted a picture on Instagram a while back of like his passes and like the box that came in. This like black
nice.
Box that came in. Because it's the 50th. I believe this is the 50th year of San Diego Comic Con, which
That's amazing.
Yeah. I will say the Russo brothers have been teasing their Hall H panel for like 11 a.m.
Real crazy stuff too.
Stuff that doesn't make sense, because the first one was just like an audio clip of people cheering after the trailer of Infinity War that they showed, you know, in 2008, I guess last year, 2018, I guess it was when that movie came out. Yeah. Or 2017, because it would have been before that. Right. And then the second one was the library rap from Community.
Yes.
Yeah. And then today they posted George Senior from Arrested Development going, "What have I always told you? There's money in the banana stand." And all it says is like coming, you know, Friday, you know, 11 a.m. Hall H. And it's like, what the fuck does this mean? Because like, you know, when the rap came up, it was like, oh shit, they worked on Community.
Mm-hmm.
Are we finally getting the movie? We got our six seasons. God. Are we getting the movie? But then they do the thing with Arrested Development, and it's like, what does this mean? Like, what the
crossover.
Fuck does this mean?
That would be the best crossover, Community Arrested Development crossover. I would love it. Like Flintstones meets the fucking Jetsons.
That would be nuts. So I don't know. Who knows what it's going to mean? Who knows what they're going to drop in the next week as like far as more teasers? Because it really does feel like, again, at first, like, oh my God, finally a community movie. But then that, it's like, I don't know. I have, this is all not connected. Mm-hmm. None of this makes any sense to me. So unless there's a common thread in there somewhere. I don't know.
Dan Harmon and the guy from Arrested Development worked together. I mean, they were on each other's shows. Dan Harmon showed up in season 4 or 5 of Arrested Development. And the other dude, the guy from Arrested Development, was on the Meow Meow Beans. He was the real cool dude. What was it? I forgot what high school name they gave him, like the Nudge or something like that.
I don't know what guy from Arrested Development?
The creator of Arrested Development.
Mitch Hedberg.
Oh God. No. Oh, R.I.P. I can't remember what his name is, but he played a character in Community as well. Kind of like a reoccurring, like cool guy character. And he had like a the something, they would call him.
Hmm.
And so that, yeah. So they've crossed paths. I mean, they've worked together. So I
Mitchell Hurwitz.
Mitchell Hurwitz. Thank you. Mitch Hurwitz. Yeah. Well, they called him the Coogler, the Coogs, or something like that. And he was the Meow Meow Beans guys. Yeah, I'll give him 5 Meow Meow Beans.
Okay, I'm so curious. I'm so curious. I have no idea what any of this means. So we'll talk about it probably next week. I'm sure we'll have some news from San Diego Comic-Con as things are going to be announced and shown and released and whatever. So.
Whatever.
All right. I'm Jeremy.
No, sir.
Okay. Well, all right. Stay tuned for the after party in the hotel lobby. Because it's gonna be lit. And some Q&As are gonna happen. So until next week, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.